हाँ जब न्या कभी सब हमारा दिस इज आवर इनॉग्रल पॉडकास्ट, सो दैट्स हाउ वी हैव टू स्टार्ट इट.
Okay.
हेलो एवरीबॉडी एंड वेलकम टू वी वॉच टू मच टीवी. माय नेम इज Tanaya एंड राइट हियर आई हैव माय बेटर बेस्ट फ्रेंड हाफ.
Jerazlyn
And welcome to We Watch Too Much TV. This is going to be our weekly podcast where we just dish on all of the TV we are watching, past, present, and future, because we work from home and all we do is watch TV. So, how did we get here, best friend, first of all, and how are you doing today?
Well, we got here because we literally watch TV. We talk about television all the time. And we decided we need to have a podcast. We have always gotten compliments on our quirky personalities since high school because
True,
we
true.
are two real life best friends. And we just knew that we had to give the people what they wanted. You know, like if you're watching TV, this is the podcast that you need to be listening to. Because we're gonna talk about
Everything.
literally like probably every show minus Yellowstone.
Yeah, because I don't watch that. I'm happy we agree on that
We
because I
don't,
just
right?
can't.
We that didn't catch us. We didn't catch the Yellowstone wave, but we literally have a very well-rounded view of a lot of different television shows because we're both into different things and similar things. And so it's like, why not? So, yeah. You
So
want me to
let's talk about, yeah, I mean, if you want, you go just straight into them.
Oh, well, no. I know you were gonna ask me, what are we gonna talk about today?
Yes, answer my question.
Well,
See, she reads my mind. We've been best friends
yes,
since we were
because
14.
we came up with titles of our different segments, and you will start to get familiar with them. We're gonna kick it off with our weekly grab, which is where we share the different standout moments from the shows that we've been watching in the last week, or what new content from the last week took our attention. We're also gonna touch on the piss poor performance of the week, where we give a recap reading of the TV's biggest villains that we just are not feeling. Then we'll go into our yes segment, where we give highlights of our favorite TV or movie stars that we want to see win. We also have a deep dive session where we go dig into some of our shows that we're watching and have very strong opinions on. That'll also be a segment in the future where if we have a guest or two, they can come on and help us deep dive into some of these shows. Today, we're also going to do a special mention of some old shows that we're binging and just,
Yes.
resurfacing some strong feelings.
Yes.
We can't have a show just talking about this and that without giving you some positivity. So we have our positivity segment of the show where we're just going to give you some uplifting positive affirmations before we close it on out. That's my
Yes, ma'am. That's gonna be fun. We have a lot to talk about. We have very different interest in TV, but we have a lot of similarities as well. I think you will be able to tell by our first segment, which is the weekly grab. would you like me to go first, or would you like to go first?
You can go first, bestie.
Okay. Mines are short and sweet. Tanea loves a TV medical drama. Give me ER. Give me what's the one in the 80s with Denzel? Damn.
Oh, I wasn't there,
I
so
saw.
I can't
No,
remember.
it was like before we were born, but it was like before ER. Y'all gonna kill me. I'm gonna Google this and get back to y'all while we
Uh-oh.
were recording, but I
I did
love a
not
good
know that
mess.
Denzel was in a medical drama. So, fun
That
fact.
was his first role. He was like the ER George Clooney, like the only black doctor. And like, damn, you know what? I'm
You
gonna
better
Google it and come
respect
back.
Denzel.
Listen, he's been in the game. It was like in the 80s and it's on Hulu. I'm gonna Google it and come back to you.
Oh, okay.
So I love a medical drama. My weekly grabs are both medical dramas. We need a moment of silence for Ellen Pompeo, aka Meredith the Grey, after 19 amazing years. Yes, I still watch this show from season one. She is finally leaving. I don't know how I feel. It's very emotional. It's worse than when Derek died. I love the storyline of how they're trying to do it with like her supporting her daughter. She's having anxiety. It's professional. But I'm also like, what the hell are they going to do with Grey's Anatomy if Meredith Grey is not a full-time cast member? So that is the first. Yes.
Okay. Ellen Pompeo, because we were just talking about Denzel. Wasn't she the one that was rude to him? Okay, because I don't watch Grey's Anatomy. And, you know, I'm a blogger. So I just know about what's word on the streets. So wasn't she the one that was rude to Denzel when he, like, directed an episode?
Yes, she wasn't the nicest or didn't have the best.
Okay, so I like her. And she can go.
Listen, it's not about her. It's about the show, okay? Which is probably why she's leaving. Which is probably why she's leaving. So I love this.
You don't disrespect Denzel.
Never. So we have one Grey's non-believer. It's okay. So she's never going to watch it. But I'm still mourning her loss. And then my last weekly grab is just The Good Doctor. It's another ABC medical drama. Sean Murphy is an autistic doctor. Now he's an attending. And I'm just so into the storyline of basically he paralyzed his chief of surgery. There was a shooting at the hospital and he had to make a life-changing decision to save her life or to save her legs. He saves her life and now she hates him. So it's just interesting how this is going to involve. Like, what? Okay, best friend, let's say we
were
together. Is it like
Lieutenant Dan?
Kind of, sort of. Like, let's say we worked together or we were doctors and, like, someone shot you and it was either save you or save your legs. What would you want to say?
Save me.
Exactly. So she's just dealing with the changes of, like, not having legs and she's angry about it. So I'm interested to see how this plays out. That's my weekly grab.
Okay, go. Lieutenant Diane. And we just gonna call you Doc McStuffins.
Yes. Okay. I like it.
I did not know you was into, but I see that your love for medical dramas is like my love for fantasy fiction stuff.
And she is alone in that.
I am not, and we have a whole community, hence why the shows continue to be made. Thank you very much. Now, on to what I've been watching. I'll start off with my fantasy stuff first. And it just reminded me. So I did just start, it is a movie, but I did finally start The School of Good and Evil on Netflix. Yes, I did also, I started Slumberland with Jason Momoa. I just like him. But I mean, honestly, that isn't as strong of a movie as the School of Good and Evil, but Jason Momoa. I have also been watching The Santa Clauses on Disney Plus because I am a millennial. And when The Santa Claus originally came out back in the 90s, it's always been one of my favorite Christmas movies. So I watch it every Christmas. And I'm not really feeling some of these negative responses to The Santa Clauses on Twitter, but I'll get into that later. The other fantasy I've been watching, well, I just finished it on Netflix, Cabinet of Curiosities. I am a weirdo. I am sick, twisted, and contradicted. For whatever
reason. Don't even say that way, guys. She is not sick, okay?
She's not a great person. You watched one episode. Tanea, you couldn't even watch one episode of Cabinet of Curiosities because it's just not your thing. It's very gory. Yes. It is very fantasy, like it has demons and witches and goblins, and I love it. I love every bit of it. Here for all of that. The other things I've been watching that are kind of more reality-based are, no, scripted, Sex Life of College Girls. I'm so happy it's back. Tanea, remember, I started that when you were at my house for the holidays, well, around my birthday last year.
Yes, and I really liked it, but there's so much TV. I do want to catch up, but that's a quick binge.
Yeah, I plan on
catching up this weekend.
Yeah, that's a quick binge. It just started. So, well, if you start this weekend, then it'll probably have episode 3 up now. So you can still catch up with the rest of season 1. It's funny. It's just such a funny show. And for those of us that are no longer in college, it just resurfaces those memories of nostalgia. And then if you are in college, it's very entertaining and probably way more relatable for where you're at currently in your sex-driven life. I've also been watching my husband. It's so weird for me saying husband. It's very fresh. But we like the 50 Cent show on WeTV, Hip Hop Homicides. And that show basically goes into the killing of a rapper. And for those of us that are into hip hop and the hip hop community, you know that that's nothing new. And so this show could go on forever because there's so many murders that, you know, people can talk, or deaths that people can dig into. And pretty much the reason 50 Cent started the show is to, one, give closure to the fans and to tell the truth behind these this violence that plagues our communities and is taking rising stars. You'll see them do interviews with family members, close friends, confidants, and just get behind the facts so that, because, you know, it's a lot of conspiracy theory, like, oh, well, the girl posted this or this happened. So by having each episode, the first episode was Pop Smoke. The second episode was King Von. The third episode was Magnolia Shorty, who I didn't even know about because she got killed in 2010 and she was based in New Orleans. But that's the woman that was sampled on Drake, Got Me in My Feelings. Kiki, do you love me? Yeah, that's her. That's her voice all throughout that song. So it's one, it's telling these stories of people that were just taken too soon. And it's very important for the Black community, especially the hip hop community, to have this information shared because we have to stop this violence. It's just, it's very, very senseless. So shout out to 50 Cent for that. You know, my ratchet ass is also watching Love During Lockup.
Yeah, I watch it here and there, but she's an advent watcher. Yeah. She is. Yeah. If I am Doc McStuffins, then can we call you Marcello? Is that his name? Marcy, what's his name?
Oh, Marcelino.
Marcelino. Okay, this is.
I am Doc McStuffins. You are so annoying. Yes.
Or you could be Megan. I do remember Megan.
Yes. I mean, I just love the shows. I mean, you know, I got a special thing in my heart for inmates.
Yeah.
Freedom. Freedom. Okay. So yeah. And then also my other ratchet show. It's not ratchet, but they are just so messy. Love and Marriage Huntsville. They are just so messy. And I eat it up. I eat it up every Saturday. And I just finished The Gilded Age on HBO Max and I'm ready for season two because I'm ready. Take me back to 1875, baby.
You go. Okay. So as you can see, I actually really do want to start the Hip Hop Homicides one, only because, you know, I love Snapped. So I feel like it's kind of like a Snapped, but it's for hip hop. But I also was going to be emotional because it's like real people I know. So that is what we've been watching.
That's our weekly grab. We did good. We didn't rant too much. Clearly, I've been binging way more TV than Tanea. Sorry.
Yes, I watch a lot of YouTube and TV. Mm-hmm.
What do you watch on YouTube?
I watch clips. So, like, I don't watch Love and Marriage Huntsville. Okay. But I do watch the old TV, like, 5 minute. Like, I did see the one with Destiny and Melody at her shop fighting with, what's her face? Is Letitia's mom, Miss Wanda.
Yes. She's a mess. Miss Wanda. She's a mess. Lord Jesus, Miss Wanda.
Miss Wanda
most definitely got to go. But okay, that is a smart way of kind of just staying abreast of, like, you know, shows and stuff, just watching the clips on YouTube.
So that's how I do it. But most of the time, if it's not that, we're watching and binging old shows to catch up, which we'll get into later. But all right,
let's get into our piss poor performance of the week, where we give a recap of the TV's biggest villains. Who done?
I think you should start this off. I feel like you're passionate. Okay,
I'm gonna just list the ones that I'm not really gonna go in on that much, so because it's not gonna take up so much time. But I do watch Winter House on Bravo, and Amanda, Paige, Sierra, and Craig, all of you are just coming off as haters, hypocrites, and immature. Y'all are getting
all of you.
You are getting tore up on the socials of the medias, because y'all have this obsession with Lindsay, who is just out here living her best life. Amanda, so pretty much Lindsay is now dating Carl. Tanaya, I know you don't know who any of them
I'm
are.
I'm just acting like I know them when we went to high school with them.
Remember right, when Lindsay, we were at Carl. BravoCon and I had this whole conversation with a lady like I met about this, and then we happened to be sitting next to the girl who worked for Cal and Amanda?
Yes, so, I do remember you noticed somebody, yes.
Okay. So they are judging Lindsay because Austin, who is on Southern Charm, came and admitted that at Amanda and Kyle's wedding, after the wedding, Lindsay came on to Austin and she touched his penis as if she wanted to insinuate sex. But at literally
no, she didn't.
She did, but she's like that. She is very aggressive. She's feeling a guy. But at the same wedding, that is where Lindsay, because Lindsay and Carl are now dating. Lindsay and Carl decided like, hey, we're going to give this relationship a go. So literally at the wedding, Lindsay's like, hey, Carl, I think I have stronger feelings than friends with you. And then later that night, she goes to Austin's room and touches his penis. So granted,
right.
But now they are like going in on Lindsay and it's like, Amanda, you're forgetting that you were Kyle's sex call in the early seasons. Like Amanda became full-time after Kyle decided like, you know what, I'm tired of being a player boy, I want to settle down. And Amanda's the one because she's the most consistent. She would always show up when he wanted sex. Paige and Craig just started dating after last season of Winter House, and they got serious by Summer House. But at the same time, Craig was still in limbo with his ex Naomi, and there was no judgment there. You guys forgave him. So now you guys are talking about Lindsay possibly hooking up with Austin after the wedding when she told Carl she wants to date him. However, they just had just said, hey, we should date. That doesn't mean we're boyfriend or girlfriend this second. So if right. I do kind of make the executive decision tonight that I want to sleep with someone else, granted, am I a hoe? Yes. But is it okay? Yes, it is.
And listen, because you live your life. You single, right. You live your life, but you can't. It sounds messy. It sounds like a lot of exchanging of
shit. You know, yeah, I love the messy
it sounds
shit.
Very messy.
Very messy. I love that messy shit. And Sierra is just hating because Austin never wanted her, and now he got a whole other girlfriend. And Sierra, you just been playing yourself out over Austin, and he still don't want you, boo. He don't want
girl,
you.
Girl, stop. Sierra, so now, whoever you are.
Right. So I'll move on from them because that's besides the point. You already know who I'm about to go in on right now. And ooh, that is Robin Raggedy Dixon of the Housewives of Potomac. The main gripe I have with her now is that she had almost had me change my mind and I liked her.
Yeah.
I started out season 7 liking her because we met her personally at BravoCon and she was very nice to us.
So sweet.
So sweet. We supported her. We bought some of her embellished hats. I told her, because again, I am a blogger and I do interview different talent and celebrities. So I had already interviewed Wendy Osefo and I about the new season. And when I asked Wendy who is going to surprise us most this season, she said Robin. But the way she said it, and one, because Wendy is just an eloquent queen, I thought she said it in a positive way. I thought she was meaning like, oh, Robin is really coming out of her shell. And if you look at the first 2 episodes of season 7, that's what it seemed like, because Robin was actually calling out Giselle and calling out Ashley for kind of making up these false, baseless claims about Chris Bassett, Candace's husband. And so that's what I thought Wendy meant. So when we met Robin, I told her that. I said, Wendy told me that you're going to surprise us the most this season. And Robin goes, oh, I'm surprised she would say that because I'm not feeling her.
I remember this exchange, and now hindsight is 2020 because
now
I don't
hindsight.
Think, now we see that she didn't mean it like she said.
No,
like,
but Wendy remained a class act. She could have easily dragged Robin in that interview and said, oh, Robin gonna surprise y'all the most because she's just, you know what I'm saying? She didn't. She allowed me to figure it out on my own as a viewer. And now what we're all seeing as viewers is Robin clearly, it's personal. And what we know about housewives, you're supposed to beef with each other. You're supposed to quarrel. That's what makes the show good. But what Robin is doing with Wendy is, one, it's her new favorite word, antagonistic. Very, you know, she said it like 14 times on last night's episode. It's very antagonistic and also aggressive, extremely aggressive. Every episode we have now seen, since after the first two, where it was focused on Candace, we have now seen that Robin is finding any and every opportunity to attack Wendy. And when you're trying to think about what is the basis of what Robin's gripe is with Wendy, it stems from season six, where Wendy, one, Robin and Giselle, again, the messy green-eyed bandits, were trying, remember the start of season six, the target was Eddie Osefo. Because remember, it always got to be somebody's husband. And minus Juan Dixon, who is Robin's ex-husband slash fiance. Robin's cheating ex-husband slash fiance. But let's
Ooh,
not
child. Allegedly.
No, they admitted it. She admitted it. There's no allegedly. She admitted that he cheated. Lord. So there's no allegedly. He cheated. You took it. You know, y'all dealt with that, right? That's why they got divorced. She said this herself on the show. They got divorced because he cheated. Okay. They never really separated. They always stayed living together. And in that process of living together and Robin becoming a reality star, Juan decided, oh, let me propose to her again and let's give it a go again. However, we have yet to decide on a wedding date, and we already see the cracks in the surface of their relationship. And so when they chose to attack Wendy and her happy marriage, okay, she clapped back by just saying, Robin, you don't even have a relationship worth talking about. Since that comment from season six, Robin has been out for blood against Wendy. And now when you tie it into this colorism debate that Potomac cannot shake. They can't shake it. Why? Because since season one, Rope has been predominantly extremely light, fair-skinned Black women. Okay? Mm-hmm. Monique was the first kind of tinge of brown skin coming in, and we saw how they treated her.
And I think it was Candace. Wasn't Candace on before Monique, or no?
Or maybe they came on the same season.
Okay.
But yeah, Candace and Monique, those were the first brown-skinned women that came onto the show. And then you saw what happened in season five with Monique and Candace, and Monique was called aggressive. And then even at the season five reunion, Wendy addressed the term aggressive being easily thrown to the darker-skinned women, while the lighter-skinned women who express the same behavior, it can just get bypassed and overlooked. You know, Robin, Giselle has been guilty of stirring the pot since day one. Robin has gotten physically in the face of Ashley and Monique, and now we're seeing her do it all throughout season seven to Wendy, but no one is calling it calling aggression. And then you also have to look at exactly what just happened on last night's episode, where Mia threw a whole drink at Wendy and then got up out of her seat, was throwing her napkin, acting like she was gonna fight. And then once Wendy responds, oh, you're antagonistic. You're antagonizing her. You're baiting her. This is Robin saying this to Wendy. Then when Wendy finally gets pissed off, and she's like, because now Mia, you know, they're both saying things. It's a verbal spat, but Mia is making it physical. So then now when Wendy finally gets to the point where she stands up and she's like, put your hand in my face one more time, Mia calls her ghetto. This is where it comes to this debate of colorism. Because why is Mia not ghetto? Okay, first of all, we already know she used to be a stripper. We already know she met her man at the strip club while he was married. Okay, we know this. This is all that she's admitted this. And then now last season you threw salad at Candace, and this season you're getting aggressive with Wendy. Why are you not ghetto?
Right.
And then to see everyone around the table coddle Wendy. I mean, the only ones who didn't really was like Ashley and Karen, but they were very kind of in the middle. But to see that no one even stood up for Wendy and tried to defend her or deflect the situation, again, it's like you're leaving this Black woman by herself. When if they're both wrong, then deflect the whole situation. But Robin, again, used every opportunity she could to attack Wendy and further antagonize the situation. And now the veil has been pulled back to where now we're really seeing, wait, okay, we know Giselle is messy as hell, but Robin, are you evil? Are you just plain mean-spirited? Should we not really have so sympathy for your husband cheating on you? You know? And let's just talk about it. The only thing she contributed to last night's episode, other than antagonizing Wendy and coddling Mia, you told us that you like to take poops in the bathroom with your cheating ex-husband slash fiance, and you walk around naked around your teenage sons. prior to you choosing to turn it up this season and be aggressive and attack Wendy, Robin has never contributed nothing other than being Giselle's sidekick. I have always felt my issue with Robin prior to meeting her in person and deciding, okay, I kind of like her. I really just thought Robin was boring. I thought that she contributed nothing to the show, and I didn't understand how she kept being allowed back when if it was anyone else, they would have gotten replaced. They would have gotten rid of her. Why does Robin get to keep coming back just because she's Giselle's sidekick? And just seeing her behavior this season, I'm thinking maybe producers did say to her, hey, you need to pick it up. And so her way of picking it up is attacking Wendy. And it's just coming off extremely whack. And so she's my piss poor performance of the week. I no longer like her. Tanea, you know my drunk ass bought two of those damn hats. I don't know why. I'm going to only keep the AKA one. And when I see you next time, I'm going to give you that other hat because I'm just
not. I don't want it. That's why I didn't buy two.
Oh, I wish you would have told me not to. But now I'll figure out who to give it to. But I'm just, yeah. I just don't. I'm like, I'm only keep my AKA one. She lucky she got that little $60 from me. I'm happy she got her little flourishing hat line. But you could go ahead and keep pooping in the bathroom with your cheating ex-husband. You now look like a funky, raggedy, hating ass bitch. I'm going to avoid cursing on our show.
Okay, we're going to have to get a sound bite for a piss pull. Because like before, because that was very, and also she just did too much. Like right. The whole, like, I just hate when people are not involved. Like, why couldn't you be a Charisse? Why couldn't you be an Ashley? Like, no, like, you can tell it was very personal. And you can tell it was very vindictive, which is like, I'm not a fan of that. But to carry the torch of piss poor performance, I am going to put her friend Mia right next to her for my piss poor performance of the week. And it's specifically how she treats her friend Jacqueline. And when I was watching this episode, I thought about us because we've been friends since we were 14 and we're in our early 30s. Mm-hmm. So we grow, you're different people. We know who we are, we respect who we are. But the way she talks to her friend, I can tell their friendship is not going to last. We've already seen it. We know there's going to be a big falling out. But one, who are you? Why do you keep screaming at Jacqueline and being fresh with her in front of other people? I just think it's really fake. I think it's like when you are her alone, this is your BFF. But every time you're in front of a housewife, you're like, she asking for too much. She's doing too much. She's doing, like, why are you being too much of a fan? And you're looking too desperate to throw shade. The difference between like a Giselle and a Mia is Giselle is shady as fuck. Giselle is dramatic, but it's how she does it. She reaches, but it's a different way. I just feel like Mia just doesn't know who she is and she wants to be relevant so she can stay on the show. Yeah. So she's like creating all this drama. Peter is not your husband. And that's not your real brother. You've taken his back like this is your ex. You gotta chill. It was not your place to go to him and ask him anything about Wendy. And to piggyback off what you said, to call someone ghetto, but to throw water and then throw a towel at them and then cry to your husband and want to leave after you started the shit. Mm-hmm. Nah, Mia could go. She could. And I do think she has a creative face. I'm sorry. I don't want to talk about
it. The fact that you reminded me that Patricia started this whole thing.
It's disgusting.
Nene then told us about him years ago. You know, stay out of women's business. And on top of that, when we did get to see the scene where Mia did talk to Peter and she asked him, what's the beef? He said, there ain't no beef. And so for her to now take it upon herself, it's like, again, she was looking for an issue. But this is something I said, you know, I'd be on Reddit. No, I was on Reddit in the post-episode discussion of Potomac. And I am blaming Bravo and the producers of the show. Potomac is now in its seventh season, and we're now seeing it get a bit more darker in this season than it has been in the past. Like we've been used to Potomac being, you know, just fun, lighthearted, more lighthearted shade. It got violent in season five, but for the most part, Potomac is known for a little lighthearted shade, a little salad toss. Just back and forth, verbal back and forth. But now it's getting dark where Robin is standing up and Charisse has to hold her back. And every time, and now we're seeing only two people get targeted, turning into the mean girls. And that's what we just saw in this last season of Beverly Hills. And a lot of fans complained saying that it's just getting too dark. But at the same time, you have to understand that I believe these producers are putting pressure on these housewives to turn it up. You got to make each season more explosive than the last. You're filling them with alcohol. Everyone is filling. We saw, you look at all the drinks that they had by the time the food came.
Yeah.
You're filling them with alcohol, and then you have desperate housewives looking for a moment, so that now the digs are getting lower, the behavior is getting darker, and the alcohol is still flowing. And so that's where now it's getting disturbing. And so I would like to see them, producers, try to hold themselves a little bit more accountable to where now keep it more fun, lighthearted, because that's really what we want to see. We want to see like lavish women living their lavish lifestyles and bickering with each other. That's the essence of Housewives. That's how it started from the early seasons. That's what people want to see. We don't want to see it getting dark. We don't want to see actual physical fights. That's not what we're watching it for.
But to close it out, but also a little bit, I think the producers are telling them, but I want to hold these individuals accountable because they're telling Cameron to turn it up, but Cameron's still a grande dame. I think that these are women who are choosing a certain level of low. And that's what, like the Lisa, Amrinas, the Robins, I don't like, there's a way you can turn it up. You can be funnier. You can be Ashley turning up her sex a bit. You can turn it up without being vindictive. So and I do think are saying things, but I think these women are like, oh, I want to stay on the show. I need a check. Let me go low, because as long as I'm trending, it doesn't matter what I'm trending for.
On top of the fact too, like when you mentioned Lisa and then even the situation with we're seeing with Mia and Robin versus Wendy, I feel like Lisa Rinna's issue with Garcelle was Garcelle can talk your ass under the table.
Period.
And if you are not there intellectually to be able to go toe-to-toe and just throw shade verbally, you're going to get dark or you're going to get violent and aggressive. And so that's what we saw with Lisa Rinna and Robin and Mia. You don't have the intellectual capacity to go toe-to-toe with a Johns Hopkins University professor, you know, or Garcelle, who just, Garcelle remains demure throughout the whole thing. She's not going to let you take her out of her element. And so, yeah, you know, I agree with you on that. I totally agree. But yeah,
These people were piss poor for the week.
So what we got next, bestie?
Let's turn it around to some positivity. I want to go into a yes or the person of the week that like really made my week. And I just thought about this, so I'm changing my person. We got to talk about Abbott Elementary and Miss Barbara Howard, aka my godmother, aka like my clone if I wanted to be a teacher. In this past episode, I just want to applaud her growth. She basically had a young mother in her class where the student was 5 years old, A1, but the mama has some tattoos, some lip franks. She has some curse words tattooed on her, and Barbara was judging her until freaking Ava, the craziest one, had to set her straight like, the kid is okay, the kid is not abused, and the kid is happy. Do not judge the kid based on the mother, but the mother also said, I need to come to the school and act like a six-year-old here as well. So I just want to applaud Barbara for just being positive, turning it around, but also recognizing, because it's prevalent now with young kids and young mothers that you get judged. So I'm proud of her just changing her mindset, but also being a badass. So that's my yeah. I love her. Abbott can't do no wrong. Quintess queen.
Yeah, no, that's such a good show and on just so many different levels. Who else? Who else do you want to see win?
I also want to see win. I want to see Ashley win. I mean,
Ashley Forehead Darby?
Yes, I really want to see Ashley win. I want her to get away from Michael, and I want her to like go to counseling, and I want her to date someone age appropriate to heal her daddy issues. Yeah. I think Michael was like her downfall, and I'm really praying for her. I don't know. There's something in her that I want her to grow. I'm just proud of her that she left him because he didn't want to settle down, and she could have easily just been doing stuff and whatever. But I'm rooting for Ashley, bestie. I'm really rooting for her. I'm really rooting for her.
That's not, I mean, at the same time, I mean, yeah, I'm rooting for her too. We all know that Michael was a piece of work, but I mean, she told us what, 2 seasons ago that they have an agreement and she just wanted to match that for their marriage so that after they would get divorced, she would get a bigger payout. So I don't feel so sympathetic when I kind of feel like she went into it knowing like, yeah, this ain't going to work, but I need to make sure I come out on, you know, and even her probably dating him was more of a, you know, Mia dating Gordon type thing. You're going into this, dating this older man with money, knowing that you'll be taken care of. And in the event that you do get divorced, you're still, you know, you're going to be able to get a nice payout. So yeah, but yeah, cheers for Ashley and Luke. I'm just not really feeling her because when it was the part where where Wendy was calling out the hypocrisy of them coddling Mia, but not, saying, oh, violence is bad when Monique fought Candace, Ashley had this stank ass look on her big ass forehead. And it pissed me off because, again, it just goes back into, here we are, the only dark-skinned women at the table, and y'all are just letting her get attacked. And, again, and Ashley's been showing her true colors again this season with Candace. So, no, as much as I, every time when I want to try to feel sorry or be on Ashley's side and root for her because of her dating a weirdo or marrying a weirdo by choice, she just reminds me again that she is vindictive and she has that big ass forehead for a reason because you're evil. That's all that evil is in your forehead. So, sorry, it went back to piss poor. I'm sorry, but I could not believe you went, ugh, not Ashley.
But let's focus on the positive.
My yeses are for Wendy and Candace. Okay, I'm rooting for my brown skin sisters on rope because they are under attack. I'm also rooted for Tim Allen on the Santa Clauses. Like I was saying earlier, I don't understand some of the negative feedback the show is getting, but I do believe that if you're bothered by some of the woke jokes, because again, it's just they're just matching going with the times. So they have like when it was like, you know, typically Santa has the naughty or nice list, and they said, oh, we can't say naughty anymore. We say misunderstood. And people are like, oh, Santa Claus is being woke. It's just a joke, guys. And it's a 2022 joke. It's the match with the times. Right. I love seeing the show. It's very nostalgic seeing Tim Allen and Eric Lloyd, who played his son and now he's all grown. It is for those millennials that enjoyed the Santa Claus as a child in the 90s. If you enjoyed Santa Claus as a child in the 90s, you will like the Santa Clauses. Yes. I do want to give a special shout out to Sherry as the Black Panther.
AKA my future girlfriend, I love you so much.
First of all, the women led. The women carried Black Panther Wakanda Forever. Shuri, Angela Bassett, the mom, Lupita, Danai Gurira. Like, it was just a really solid movie. But I'm seeing when you see the feedback or just the praise of the movie, it is all about Namor. And Namor did amazing. First of all, he's sexy as hell. That he killed that role. Such a strong storyline as it ties into, colonization and then just unity within the Black and Latino community. However, he's not the Black Panther. And when you're looking at just reviews or highlights of the movie, they'll put the picture of Namor. Black Panther, Wakanda Forever, outsells Black Adam. And it's like they put the picture of The Rock as Black Adam and then Namor. And I'm like, Namor isn't Black Panther. Why is Shuri being overlooked as the Black Panther? Oh, because she's a woman. Oh, my bad. Mm-hmm. I forgot people prefer their heroes to have penises. So shout out to Shuri. Carry it, sister. I'm rooting for you and all the female heroes that we're seeing. She-Hulk, WandaVision, all of y'all, just crush it up because.
Well, Sherry, if you're single, please DM me. Thank you. I love you. I'm always rooting for her.
Okay. Right. We're rooting for Sherry. I'm rooting for Sherry. And that's it. I'm not going to go into too much. Oh, there is a rumor that Legendary got canceled, but I'm rooting for season four. I'm claiming it. I'm not going to claim.
I saw Queen Laomi say that if she didn't say it, then it's not true. She made a tweet like, it's crazy people saying it and it didn't come from any of the hosts. So I think it's a rumor. And I think our favorite show, that Legendary, that we fan on. And when it comes back, we're going to have to dedicate just its own segment.
Okay.
I do think it's coming back.
And what do we think about the AMAs? I didn't watch it. I just only saw some performances. I did like Cardi B and Glorilla. Cardi B just looked like she was having fun.
Yeah, I love Cardi. I just love her energy. There's not a lot of female rappers who
Yeah.
just have that like energy. And I think she's becoming way better on stage. She was not that
Yes.
good early on in her career. But I honestly didn't watch it because I didn't understand I don't understand this whole Chris Brown thing. I'm gonna be honest. Like, I think that genre picks and chooses when things are okay. Certain white artists have a consistent history of abuse. Have a consistent history of certain treatment of children and adults, and they still support them, they still honor them. I am not excusing what he did. He had one mistake one time. Not one woman has ever said he has ever done anything to them afterwards. He's paid his dues. He's been on probation. It was almost 10 years ago. You guys nominated for him for an award, and he won.
Anyone.
I don't understand why you would ask somebody and take it away without explanation. Just give him away, but I just don't like the back and forth. So I didn't watch.
Yeah.
I've been watching his Instagram of what could have been. And this is a call out to Jesse Collins, BET, Soul Train, Grammys. Y'all better call fucking Ciara. Oh, excuse me, Ciara and MJ. I mean,
Yes.
Ciara and Chris Brown, so they can
I
do it next.
mean, I'm only thing I'm gonna just say is this is why Rihanna shouldn't have put Johnny Depp in her show, because he can get away with whatever the hell he did with Amber Heard. Now, granted, we all there's you know say of oh she exaggerated, she wasn't really telling all of the truth. All we do know from the videos is that he was a drunken ass mess and disrespectful to his wife verbally, right? Like I didn't see one where he was being physically, but he was verbally abusive to her. And Rihanna, this does stem around your situation with Chris Brown. So it's like, why are we gonna so easily forgive the white man and the black man continues, the black man who was not a man, he was 19 years old,
He was a child.
continue a child, continues to get dragged for something from 2009.
I just
So
want us to keep the same energy, you know? If we're gonna forgive, we're gonna forgive.
Keep
If we're
the
gonna be
same
better
energy, boo-boo,
than
because we're defending you.
that.
So how and I and first of all, Brad Pitt would have ate. Okay. I'm like,
Yeah.
could you not afford Brad Pitt? Because I would have much rather seen Brad Pitt in the Fenty Savage show than John, because Johnny Depp didn't even serve to me. I'm sorry, he served nothing. He gave me nothing. Then he
I
went.
wanted George Clooney, honestly. Give me
Ooh, that would
OJ.
have been another good one. Come on
Give me
now.
O. I want gray
There was
hair,
just so
okay?
many other options. I just don't get why Rihanna, like her, that really did annoy me, her picking Johnny Depp. But, you know, that is what it is. I don't know if we're going to have time for our deep dive and our special mention of old shows because we got to kind of wrap.
Yeah, we can do.
You can touch on Drag Race because it's relevant right now.
Yeah, and then we
Tell
can
us
edit
what
it
you think about Drag
about
Race UK.
another
I don't watch, I only watch American because I'm not playing for World of Wonder. So you tell us.
one. So what I do is I pay for World of Wonder every other month, and I'm gonna cancel it for the next 2 months, and then I'm gonna pay for it again and binge. So, RuPaul's Drag Race UK, it's been a good season. But my thing is right now we're at the finals. It'll be airing this week. They have a top four queens. Jomber's Blonde, horrible, horrible name. Danny Beard, which I think is top two to win. Cheddar Gorgeous, my personal pick to win, and Black Peppa. Love that Bajan queen who moved to the UK. Love her. However, I do think that RuPaul's Drag Race. Not saying that it's a problem, but my thing with the show is there are certain lip sync assassins that only make it because of that gift. And Black is a perfect example where she's beautiful and she's talented, but she's really only a singing, dancing queen. She can't do comedy. She can't really do fashion, but she's made it maybe 3, 4 weeks more than she should because she's annihilates every lip sync. So I don't know how you feel about that. Like, I mean, on one hand, if it is lip sync for your life and she's a good lip syncer, she shouldn't go home. But what if someone is really good, but they're just
Right.
not a good lip syncer? Like,
It's
how do
like
you feel?
George's. It sounds like the George's situation. And eventually George's did go home, but she did make it extremely far because it still is a competition. And at the end, if this is the deciding factor, is this lip sync? It's like if you keep crushing it, then it's like you keep crushing it. I do think that ultimately RuPaul makes the best decision. And
Yes.
I, you know, I with me not even watching this show, I know that this one probably will not win, but still, you know, she's compelling Rue enough to make her continue to keep saving her time and time again. So, you know, we'll see what happens. But we saw what happened with Georges.
Yes, I don't think she's going to win. I definitely don't think she's going to win, but I definitely just wanted to highlight, like, I love her, my queen, but she, wonder where she would have been. But, you know, we need them like that because it has to be an entertaining lip sync.
Okay, I do want to, I'll lightly touch on my deep dive just because we have a few minutes before we go into our positive affirmations and then close out. So, y'all know I got my ear to the streets. I'm also a blogger. So last week it was announced that Selling Tampa was canceled. People were just assuming it was because of the numbers, but you know, if you really actually look at the numbers weren't that bad. It actually performed well for when it premiered in December of 2021 on Netflix. It was the number one stream show upon its premiere. So then you look at why was it canceled, and then they came out with Selling the OC as a spinoff, which is just a lot of fabricated drama. I couldn't even get past episode 2, but I actually enjoyed Selling Tampa. Just right. So you all know the big difference of Selling Tampa is that they are all Black. So now one of them actually reached out to me. She is anonymous because she wouldn't tell me her name, but this is what she had to say. Adam DeVillo, the executive producer, is an absolute racist and a misogynist. Truth is, she identified herself, not exactly, but she said, I'm a former cast member of Selling Sunset, but I'll need to remain anonymous. But I can tell you that the following is true is correct. I don't mind if you quote me as an anonymous cast member. Adam would say that he isn't a racist because he got Selling Tampa sold. Problem is, he didn't develop the show. Sherelle Rosado, she's the owner of Allure Realty, who also dates Chad Ochocinco Johnson.
Okay, his baby mama. Yes.
Right. Yes. Problem is, he didn't develop the show. Sherelle came to him via his IG DM and pitched herself to Adam during the Black Lives Matter movement after George Floyd was murdered. Adam took it as an opportunity to capitalize on the Black Lives Matter movement. He does not care about representation for people of color, far beyond that. At one point, Adam wasn't allowed to be around his cast or crew because Netflix punished him because of how he mistreated our friend and producer, Monique Taylor. And then she mentioned that similar things are happening on Selling Sunset. You know, if you can remember, Christine Quinn, who was the most popular on Selling Sunset, she quit the show and came out and said all these things about Adam DeVillo, just kind of berating her, talking disrespectful. He told her to commit suicide, allegedly. With the show. Yes. So now this Black cast member for Selling Tampa is saying, why is Selling Tampa covered in hip hop R&B genre music, but none of the white cast shows feature similar music throughout? It's just stereotypical editing for a Black cast. Tampa was released in December of 2021, and we are now hearing it's canceled. Selling the OC aired at the end of August 2022, and I heard from one of the other cast members that it has already been picked up for 2 more seasons. The new OC seasons have not been announced publicly yet, and they will likely reveal it once the dust has settled from Selling Tampa being announced that it's being canceled, trying to create some distance between Tampa and OC. She also later sent me links to show me that, yes, the show, because Adam tried to blame it on numbers, but actually the show was bringing in the numbers. People were watching Selling Tampa and enjoying it. So that's the word on the street, is that Adam allegedly is, I don't know. I don't know him personally. I haven't worked with him. This is someone that worked with him on the show. This is what they are saying. Again, I am not saying this. This is what the person reached out to.
Alleged. This is only reporting, okay?
I'm only reporting that. But at the same time, if you do take into account claims about Adam DeVillo, I mean, it's, you know, he might be a controversial character considering the accounts from people that have worked directly with him. But that is not my personal opinion of him. This is just what was told to me. And that is our deep dive. So let's go back to the
podcast. We got to stay tuned to that because I'm interested in watching. I'm going to look up his name and I'm going to be watching that because I think there has to be truth to that.
Right. I mean, yeah, we don't know. I don't want to say nothing crazy because I ain't nobody coming to sue my ass. But
we did not do it.
This is what was somebody reached out to me and this is what they told me. But now on to our positivity. Do you have a positive affirmation to leave our listeners with, Bestie?
I always do. I am Ayanla Beloved. what was Mother Love? That's my name. But Ayanla Beloved, Mother Love, Doc McStuffin. Okay. You don't have to remain the same person everyone has always known you as. You don't have to remain the same person you have always known yourself as. Keep stepping into your authentic self.
Love it. I have a quote from a publicist friend of mine. Shout out to Freshie. He posted this today. I reposted it to my IG story. Every single person you meet is a work in progress. Nobody has it completely figured out. Everyone is constantly working on themselves in some way. However, there is no need to compete with others. Focus on yourself and your goals. The less focus you have on others, the more focus you have on yourself. Yes.
Love that. And,
and with that, this is our first episode. Love.
We hope you guys liked it. Follow us on social media. Yes. At we watch too much TV on all platforms. Give us
and
feedback.
It's
let us know.
TV. TV.
Yes. Well, this was fun. I loved it. First one is done. We did it.
And what's our closeout? What's our closeout slogan?
Love,
abundance, and bundles.
And bundles. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
And then that's when they'll know when to cut it. Okay, great. I think that was really fun. And we're going to, like, of course,